Okay, we'll get started on the next part of the lesson.
好，我们现在开始第二段的课程。
Just to finish off what we were talking about before the break, about different kinds of perception.
我们在上一堂课呢，把这个不同类型的觉知系统来源介绍了一下。
You should have realized by now that the most important way that we learn anything, whether it's in the physical realm or the spiritual realm, is faith.
那我们最后的结论就是呢，不论我们是用什么方式去学习啊，但最终呢，我们还是必须要有我们的一个信念在里面，相信它才真的可以学习得到。
And actually, it's impossible to learn about God and His plan without faith.
所以是不可能呢，学习到神跟他的计划，如果没有任何信心的话。
Because God is outside of the physical universe, so you cannot see God, obviously. You can't rationalize God because he's way beyond human thinking.
因为呢，神他根本就在我们整个宇宙体系之上，或者说之外。所以呢，你不用任何信心的话，你其实无法用任何实验或者是理性去理解。那尤其神他的所有的思维是高于我们的，所以你的理性思维是很难去理解的。
Yeah, now what I mean by that is, you know, if you took away faith and you took away empiricism, you cannot rationalize how God would be.
那虽然我们人类就跟神一样是有一个理性思维的一种模式，但是呢，我们如果人既没有机会经由经验去认识神，然后我们又没有能力去用所谓的理性思维了解神。
It's rational to accept that creation needs a creator. That's rational thinking of man. So we can rationally accept that there is a God, but you cannot know the characteristics of God, you cannot know God's plan, you cannot know what God's plan is for your life through rationalism. It can only be revealed through scripture.
我们呢，其实要相信有一个造物者，因为我们看得到他所造之物，所以我们可以想象用理性的思维，我们可以想象一定有造物者，这个是我们必须要接受的。那经由这样子的一个确认造物者的存在，我们才去想象说神所说的是一个真理的，这全部全套呢就是经由一个信念。
Again, God exists outside of the physical realm. So that means you cannot see him, you cannot hear him, you cannot feel him, obviously. So that removes empiricism from the way that we can understand God.
我们不能听到神，不能看到神，不能去经验神，我们就不可能是用所谓的实验主义去理解神的存在。
And this is why atheists are irrational, because God himself, obviously if he's God, he has to be a spirit.But atheists say, they make a statement, a very emphatic statement. They say God does not exist. That's what an atheist does. But how do they know? Unless they can see into the spiritual realm or outside of the physical realm, that is a false statement. They cannot make that statement.
所谓的无神论者呢，他们就不就把神，因为他没办法感受到，所以他就经由所谓实验主义来论断神不存在。那这件事情其实是非常非常没有意义的，因为他们并不可能跑到宇宙之外去认识这位神的时候，他又以为他只有经由这个实验主义才来就要确认神的存在的话，这个整个逻辑基本上是非常的不理性的。
Yeah, so they are being irrational when they say God does not exist.
所以呢，无神论者他们对于神不存在的这个结论其实是非常的不理性的。
And Psalms 53:1 says the fool has said in his heart there is no God.
诗篇53篇第一节在讲的就是在说那些无神论者。
Says here, the fool has said in his heart there is no God.
他说愚顽人对自己说没有神。好，这愚顽的人指的就是无神论者。
And again, his argument is because I can't see God or I can't hear God, but obviously if there is a God, he's going to exist outside of the physical universe.
他说他们没有神，其实是因为无神论者他看不到、听不到，就认为叫论断神不存在。
Yeah, I've given you these verses here. We've talked about these before, but these are basic verses regarding faith. Romans 10:17. And that says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the teachings of Jesus Christ.
好，罗马书第十章十七节讲说，信念是来自于听道，而听道的是教导神的存在。
See, we're talking about faith in God and God's plan. You know, Christians always, they like to say, I want to increase my faith. Well, this is how you do it.
就很多人信，基督徒都说他希望能够增加自己的信念、信心，好，对神的信念与信心。其实呢，这就是我们必须要从听到对于神的教导来增加我们的信念与信心。
And that's something you should be able to say confidently. Every time you walk out of a Bible class, you should hope that your faith has increased because your knowledge of God and His plan has increased, which means your faith has increased.
而我们每一次上完这个圣经课的时候，你其实你就要知道你其实你的信心信念都已经增加了，因为你从学习到更认识神，你的信念就会提升。
So when you walk out the door, you should be able to say with confidence, my faith is now more than it was 2 hours ago.
所以当你走出教室的那一刻，你可以非常有信心的告诉自己，我现在的信心比两个小时前绝对是又增加了一大步。
But then all faith has to be tested. So you know, God is going to test you on your faith eventually as well.
我们要理解啊，所有的信心、信心、信念都是会要被试炼的。
And the other verse we have very important about faith is 2 Corinthians 5:7. And this says we walk by faith. You know, walking means learning and applying doctrine. Walking by faith, not by sight or not by the things we see.
哥林多后书五章七节呢又提到了，就说我们行走靠着信念而不是靠着眼睛所见。
Which means that your decisions that you make and your thought processes need to be based on faith, not what you're seeing or hearing in the environment around you.
也就是说呢，我们了解我们每天在下的决定，为依着神而下的决定是因着我们的信心，而不是因为我们周遭所见。
Just to give you a fairly basic example, before the last US presidential elections, before Trump was elected, they say, if Trump is elected, I'm going to leave the United States and I'm going to go live in Canada or go and live in New Zealand or Taiwan or wherever they wanted to go because everything's just going to be a mess. I'm getting out of here.
这个 Tim 要举一个例子啊，就是在2016年当上一届的总统选举前呢，有很多人呢其实就在反对川普的人就说啊，如果川普当选总统的话呢，这个国家一定会大乱，我一定要离开美国去别的国家住。
I think most of those people are still there and they're probably saying the same thing again. Well, if Trump gets elected this time, I'm definitely leaving.
然后呢，这些人呢其实到后来我们相信他们现在还住在美国，那他们这一次在选举前又在讲同样的话，就是如果川普当选了，他们要离开美国。
But it doesn't matter who the president of your country is, and he could be the worst president in history, he could be a good president. But your life doesn't depend on the political decisions of what's going on in government.
但是呢，任何一个总统当选呢，他都可能是更好的总统，也有可能是更差的总统。但是我们的人生呢，绝对不会因着一个总统的改变而改变了我们的人生。
You can be sure that the decisions of politicians will affect the environment around you and the economic circumstances and some of the laws that you're involved in. But those things should never affect your happiness.
也许呢，一个政治人物呢的在位，他会下很多决定，会的确会影响你周遭的环境，最重要的很可能是你的经济环境。但是呢，一个政治所造成的环境的改变，绝对不应该影响到我们的喜乐，就是生活的快乐。
Yeah, because God has His promises in Scripture, and politicians like to make lots of promises as well, but they always break their promises. You can never trust a politician, but you can trust God.
而很多的政治人物，他们所跟你允诺的事情，其实你心里都明白他们不见得会真正的遵守他的承诺，但是呢，神所给我们的应许是永远不会错的。
Yeah, only an idiot would place their faith in a politician for their happiness or for stability in life.
只有那种很愚蠢的人才会把他的未来的生活的这个幸福与否哈，把寄托在一个政治人物身上。
Jeremiah 17:5 it says, "If you put your trust in man, you'll be cursed."
就像那个耶利米的十七章第五节说，如果你把你的信心放在一个人的身上，
Yeah, you'll be cursed.
你会被诅咒。
Yeah, and yeah, that's what a lot of people do, of course. That's why people get very upset when the person they wanted to be president doesn't become president, because they think that their life is going to be ruined.
所以很多在选举的期间呢，大家把他自己的那个人生未来的幸福与否都以为他应该要寄托在某一个这个候选人身上，那到时候这个候选人没上，那他就觉得他人生完蛋了，这个是很蠢的事情。
Yeah, and even if you do have the worst president or the worst prime minister in history and everything goes really bad, there's going to be a lot of suffering. But that's good. Remember, suffering is your friend, right?
但是呢，任何一个，也许有一个被选上的这个总统或者是一个总理当上任之后呢，他也许把我们的环境弄得一塌糊涂，但是就算是他让我们的生活很多的苦难，又何妨？我要记得苦难是我们的朋友，不是吗？
Remember, suffering has many, many purposes.
要记得苦难它的存在是有很多对我们的人生是有意义的。
And there's always a reason for suffering. Now, suffering just doesn't happen out of a vacuum. When God allows suffering to happen upon any person, and we all suffer at one stage or another in our lives, whether you're unbelievers or believers or growing believers or bad believers or good believers, everybody suffers.
那我们人生总是会有各种的这个苦难我们要承担，不管你是基督徒或不是基督徒。
Or even you can be a good Christian or a bad Christian.
你也可以是个好基督徒或坏基督徒。
But God has a reason, there's always a reason and there's always a purpose for the suffering that you have to deal with.
而神呢，给我们苦难总是有他的目的或原因。
If you're involved in sin, for example, that suffering is to get you to have a repentance, you know, to have a change of mind and to bring you closer to God.
如果呢，你是因为你有罪，你有犯了罪，那神呢给你的苦难呢，常常就是让你能够悔改。
Or if you're a believer who's overcoming your sins, now you're getting control over your life, you're getting control over your sins and emotions, that suffering is going to be designed to propel you forward in the spiritual life.
而如果你是一个比较成熟中的一个基督徒的话呢，这样子的苦难常常是为了推你一把，让你更进一步的成为更好的一个基督徒。
We had here is number three on the board. You can see providential preventative suffering. That's to prevent the growing believer from getting arrogant. Because, you know, as you do grow spiritually, you're becoming better than the person you used to be, and possibly better than people around you as well. That's quite easy to get arrogant.
而这种所谓的这种形态的这个苦难呢，其实是为了要保障好的基督徒不要变得很傲慢、自以为是。所以要让你有时候要经历某些苦难，来让我们保持非常的谦虚弱骨的状态。
Okay, and then again, you have the momentum testing. That's to keep you going forward. So as you're growing, and God gives you tests, can be prosperity or can be adversity tests. Their objective is to keep you focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, so you don't get distracted by the things around you.
而当你是成为更成熟的基督徒的时候呢，他就会给你一种动力形态的测试。那这种测试呢，也许是丰盛的测试，也许是苦难的测试，都是要让我们能够更进一步的成为更高层次的基督徒。
There's a concept that Paul brought out when he was writing to the Corinthians, and he said, every thought that you have, you have to bring it into captivity. Meaning every thought that comes up in your brain, make sure that thought is captured by you for Jesus Christ. Catch that thought, and so know what you're thinking.
就是当那个保罗在写哥林多前书的时候，他提到一个概念啊，就是说你必须要非常清楚，就是你有任何的想法的时候，你都要把它抓住，然后要确定这个想法是对齐耶稣基督的。
In other words, don't let stray thoughts take over your mind. And often you can be thinking evil thoughts, you can be thinking sinful thoughts. You have to dispel those and then keep the thinking of Jesus Christ in your mind.
保罗的意思是说，当我们在这个思维的时候，你要清楚，我们的思维中常常会有很多杂念。但是哪些念头是真正对齐耶稣基督的，你就要掌握住它，你要把那个当作你的最主要的思维， 而不要让其他的那些杂念去把你给蒙蔽了，而失去了方向，而分心了。
Right. But you need to have all your thinking focused on Jesus Christ.
我们刚刚在讨论就是说，其实那个佛家他们常常会有这种所谓打坐、静坐，哈，他们想要的是让头脑的里面的所有的思维全部清空。所以他们比如说有很多种方法，有一种是这种呼吸法，你就把你的专注力放在你的呼吸，或者是你身上有什么痛，你就专注着去想那个痛，但目的都是想要让你什么都不想。但我们现在要真正理解的是，一个好基督徒的目标是要把所有的杂念去掉的目的是我们要真正可以专注的，专注在耶稣基督的身上。
Yeah.
要跟他的所有的思维对齐。
That means thinking as Jesus would. So whatever circumstances you're under, it's like, well, how would Jesus think under these circumstances?
所以重点是在于我们的思维要学着像耶稣基督一样的去思想。也就是说，当如果是耶稣基督在碰到我们现在所面临的状况的时候，他会怎么想，怎么做？
Philippians 2:5 brings out that concept.Have the same thinking in you that was in Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 2:5.
腓立比书二章五节说，要持有一个耶稣基督会有的想法。
Jesus Christ proved to us, as we've mentioned before, he proved to us that with his kind of thinking, you can pass all kinds of testing.
耶稣基督曾经跟我们讲过说，要用他的思维的话，我们就可以通过所有的考验。
Yeah, so whatever kind of test you have, you apply the word of God under the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you can still be happy regardless of how much pressure you're under.
所以呢，如果我们有耶稣的想法，就不论我们有经历多大的压力，生活压力、财务压力，任何的压力，你都可以很轻松快乐的通过。
Okay, it says here in 1 Peter 21.
在彼得一书二章二十节。
That's right.
二十一节。
Starting from here, for Christ also suffered on our behalf, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps.
你们蒙召原是为此，因基督也为你们受苦，受过苦。
And then it tells us, he did no sin, nor was there any, they said guile, meaning any foul words found in his mouth.
给你们留下榜样，叫你们跟随他的脚的行踪，他并没有犯罪，口里也没有诡诈。
Verse 23 says, who when he was reviled, which means hated, and he was persecuted, he did not revile in return.
而当他被骂也不还口。受害也不说威吓的话，只将自己交托那按公义审判人的主。
When he suffered, he did not threaten, but gave himself up to him who judges righteously. He put his life in the hands of God.
就是将他的生命是交给了他的天父的手中。
We have this verse as well here. This is talking about suffering as well. Romans 5:3.To five.
好，罗马书五章三至五节呢，也是在谈这个受苦受难。
Okay, we'll just go through the English here. And not only this, but we glory, which means we can boast or we can be confident in afflictions. And afflictions means trials and tribulations or suffering.
他说，他不止如此，但是呢，我们呢，在这种所谓苦难之中呢，我们依然可以荣耀。
Yeah, actually, the word glory is interesting. It's kalkesomai in the Greek, and it sort of means like to boast or to feel victorious. So, you know, we talk about being happy in your suffering. So in this case, you're sort of being victorious over it. You have this attitude of victory.
所以这边这个说也荣耀，它的意思就好像说也是感觉是成功的。你基本上还是可以在受苦中感受你成功而喜乐的。
Another synonym could be celebrate, like you're celebrating in your trials.
也就是说呢，你可以在你的这个被试探的过程中，你却有一种在庆祝的状态。
Of course, you're not celebrating the fact that you're suffering, but you're celebrating the fact that through your victory in that suffering, you're going to have some really nice consequences at the end of it.
因为这个庆贺不是因着你在受苦受难，而是庆贺你可以成功的通过这个苦难。
Yeah, and actually even while you're going through that testing, see, God is being glorified at that time. So you can be celebrating in that as well. Though people tend to focus more on the pain and suffering.
因为很多人呢，我们都习惯于呢，把我们的专注力摆在我们正在受苦的状态。但其实我们可以把我们的眼光摆在神，他因着我们通过受苦难而得到的那个荣耀，我们的神正在得到我们成功通过苦难的荣耀。那因此我们为神得荣耀而庆贺。
Okay, but in this case, Paul appears like he's talking about momentum testing. You can see a process here, because he's saying, knowing that afflictions or adversity works out patience. That's the hupomone. So through your adversity, you're developing that, what's the word for hupomone?
耐力。
But you had another word.
承受。
Oh, right, okay. So this is what your adversity is doing. You're developing this patience.
就说呢，在苦难中呢，他其实呢，创造了我们的那个耐力，承担的能力。
Through the patience that you're developing, your experiences become worthwhile to you. You're gaining experience. And remember, this experience is going to count towards evidence testing at the end. So you're getting experience, you're getting training. This is your training.
所以呢，这样子的承担力，我们经过这样的过程中，我们的承担力呢，让我们得到了更多的经验，而这个经验呢，就会让我们得到更大的希望。
忍耐，
忍耐，这个中文的那个金句就是忍耐生老练，
老练生
盼望。
Now the word for hope there is a Greek word elpis. Remember that means absolute confidence. So that means you can be confident that as you go through this process,Eventually, you will glorify God.
而这个盼望呢，在希腊文里面呢，它讲的其实是
elpis. Remember the Greek word we had, elpis means absolute confidence.
这个盼望在希腊文里面是绝对的信心。
This word often applies to salvation. Like we hear it when, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have this absolute confidence you can go to heaven.
这个绝对的信心呢，我们之前学到的时候，就是当我们确定我们将来会得到永生的那个救恩的那个绝对信心，是同一个字。
But here we're not talking about salvation. See, in this passage, we're talking about testing. This is the spiritual life.
但是我们在这边呢，这罗马书三五章讲的不是在讲永生那件事。好，所以讲的不是那个救恩，这边在讲的是我们承担苦难可以。生信心。
Yeah, your purpose in life is not to be saved. That's just like the first step in your relationship with God.
我们的人生的生而为人的目的绝对不只是为了将来要有救恩，那只是我们得的第一步啊。
Yeah, because you know, just one decision, you believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved. So it is obviously very, very important you're saved, but that's not your purpose for being here.
得到永生的救恩呢，绝对是很重要的。那是当我们一相信耶稣基督，我们就得到了。所以它是很重要，但它不是我们生而为人的目的。
Your purpose in life is to become witnesses in the angelic appeal trial.
我们生而为人的目的呢，是成为天使征战的见证人。
And so the hope here, through this process here where you're being tested, and then you're developing your patience, and then you're getting experience, and then through that you can have this confidence that ultimately you can glorify God to the maximum.
所以呢，我们的这个人生的程序呢，是当我们受到苦难的时候呢，我们练习出了那个承担的能力。然后在这个承担的过程中，我们得到了经验，而这个经验让我们能够有一个非常大的信心和希望，也就是盼望是什么呢？是我们可以荣耀神。
And just to finish off this passage that Paul is talking about here, he says, "And hope does not make us ashamed." So this confidence, or we should translate it as confidence, does not make us ashamed. Remember at the Bema throne.When we get to heaven and there's going to be the award ceremony and some people are going to be ashamed. Well, for those people that are at the stage of evidence testing, they're not going to be ashamed.
而这个盼望呢，其实也就是我们所谓的绝对的信心呢，会让我们将来不会有任何感觉丢脸。因为要记得，当我们到了那一天，到了这个 evaluation throne, 就是评估宝座前。我们要被耶稣基督来 受勋的时候，因为我们有过这样的经历，我们必然会有荣耀神的这个奖励，那这个时候我们才不会觉得丢脸。否则的话，我们只是得过救恩，后面都没有经过苦难的试炼，我们就得不到耶稣基督的评估宝座上面的奖赏，那时候就会变得有一点丢脸。
And we have the means or the power that God provides us to be able to go through this process because it says, to continue on, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us.
而我们呢也要知道说我们绝对是有这个绝对的信心是我们一定可以在评估宝座前会得到奖赏，为什么呢？因为我们有神所给我们的爱，就如同浇灌在我们的身上，经由这些圣灵的浇灌，我们一定有这些爱跟能力去得到评估宝座的奖赏。
So we never did the study, but the way it's written in the Greek can mean the love God has to us.And also the love that we have for God. In English, they just translate love of God. But even when you say that in English, the love of God is, you could be saying you have love for God or he could love you. But actually, in the Greek, it goes both ways anyway.
这边说神的爱，这个词呢，在希腊文或英文，它都有两个意义。一个是你对神的爱，一个是神对你的爱。所以我们要看到神的爱的时候，我们心里面要理解，这是双向道的爱。
And in 1 John chapter 5, it actually says, we love, meaning we love God, because he loved us first. And it brings those two concepts together in the one verse.
在约翰福音的第五章里面就讲说，我们爱神是因着神先爱我们。他其实就在讲，这其实是一个双向道。
Yeah, it's called a reciprocal love. Reciprocal means that I love you, you love me. This is a reciprocal love.
这就是双向的一个相互的爱。
But love for God, if we love God, that gives us the motivation to keep wanting to know about Him and to keep obeying Him.
而我们对神的爱呢，是我们的一个强烈的要认识神以及顺服神的动机。
Okay, so when we look back at this chart, remember, or this diagram is talking about the divine dynasphere. When you get up to your momentum testing,Yeah, this is where you need to apply or you need to have learned about God's love for you. Oh, it starts off at step 5. You see that?
Yeah.
And actually, congratulations, we have a Chinese translation of this. So.
Oh, brand new.
actually, I think it's an old one, but I've only just discovered it.
okay, 好，我们那个在过去这一个多月来都在想神的动力学，哈，所以这个动力学的从第五步啊，第五个步骤开始呢，它就等于是一个已经是属于比较成熟的基督徒，他在灵性上的成长的期间。
So with that love for God, that keeps you going through your tests. You're not going to give up. You're not going to get angry and bitter. You're going to understand that God is doing it because He loves you.
当你有了对神的爱的时候呢，很多事情你都不会再就是罪性都不会犯了，因为你会更有耐心的去，不会生气，不会。嫉妒等等的这些美德都已经开始在你身上滋长。
You might actually have this that I sent out a couple of days ago, and you can have a look over that. We've taught a little bit about this, and again, this is going to have to be part of a major study later in the future as well.
这个图哈，我们学到现在还是学基本款，后面还有很多的那个中等款跟高等款，后面还等着我们学。
Yeah, because actually each step has its own sort of subjects and doctrines within it, and then we need to bring that together with the 10 problem-solving devices.
这个神的动力学呢，它基本上呢是跟我们之前提到的这个十个解决问题的方法是互相相对应的，所以我们后面要把这些东西再串起来，才会了解我们如何用神的动力学去面对我们生活上的问题。
And also, when you were teaching spiritual dynamics, we have to teach about the 40 absolutes as well. So that needs to come into that sort of equation as well.
而且呢，这些不管是神的动力学，或者是这个十个解决问题的方法，以及神给我们的40个礼物，它全部都是互相关联性，有连串起来的，所以我们都要把它连接起来。
Now what we'll do, we'll have another 5-minute break, and when we come back, we'll have half an hour left, I guess, so we can finally get started on Ephesians 1:19.
好，我们休息五分钟后呢，我们终于要走进这个以弗所书的一章十九节的这一个经句。